This is Dairy Rewind, a look back at what happened this week in the dairy industry. Monday.
The December futures contract was showing a drop of over a dollar. How do 2024 futures prices square with most dairy farms' cost of production?
Yeah, I think in 2024, Class 3 futures milk price is better than what we've seen this past summer, but certainly still not to the levels we saw in 2022. I do think, though, you know, we have seen feed costs come down quite a bit, and that is definitely supportive of on-farm margins into the next year. Looking on the dairy product side of things, as particularly for demand, you know, China's always on our mind when it comes back as a big consumer. It's been a volatile year. We've kind of seen them back off. There's a lot of uncertainty around there. We've seen purchasing volumes from them on the global dairy trade events back off and things like that. So we're still a little unsure when demand is going to come back for China and those things. But when we look at the cheese export market, I think there is some positive momentum here.
Thank you, Kara. Kara Murphy, Market Intelligence Manager at High Ground Dairy.
Tuesday.
So what tends to be the biggest energy pig overall on the farm?
Primarily the milking parlor itself. When you look at cooling, lighting, ventilation, vacuum pumps, that's going to account for well over 70% of your energy bill. And that's going to be very consistent, right? We're milking two, sometimes three times a day. So that's going to be very consistent. You know, the age of equipment, the, you know, the power quality that you have, and really, we, no surprise, it shouldn't be a big surprise that the milking parlor itself is using energy. So you can see the pieces of the puzzle that are occurring in the milking parlor really come to life. This pesky little 12%, that's going to encompass, you know, everything else that's happening on the dairy.
Wednesday.
How many times a day should we really be feeding these calves?
When we look at the physiology of how baby calves are designed to eat and to be fed, that's different than the way that we do it in the dairy industry. And when we talk about appropriate feeding of dairy calves and to mimic the physiology that they're designed for, just to talk about calories, somewhere around 70% of the U.S. dairy industry is still feeding calves 2 quarts of milk or milk replacer in the morning and 2 quarts at night. And that's just not enough. The reason we feed calves that way is because it has to do more with economics than it would ever have to do with physiology. And sometimes to understand the way that a baby calf designed to be fed is we just look at the beef cow. And what does a baby calf left on a beef cow do? Well, they nurse multiple small frequent meals, and the volume of intake is very high.
Thursday.
We are in the hustle and bustle and towards the end of the year. What's on the agenda for Congress? Any key votes that they're looking at as we approach Christmas?
Well, yes, indeed. They do have a key vote, especially for people who are hoping for additional options of milk to be served in the nation's schools. So at the outset of our conversation here, you're talking about how the federal order update process has been sort of a slow rolling process throughout 2023. Now I'm shifting gears to talk about the Whole Milk for Healthy Kids Act, which is legislation that's been introduced the past few years in Congress, but now it looks like that at least in the House of Representatives bill, next week the House is going to vote on legislation. Now, this is a bipartisan bill that would expand the milk options schools can choose to serve in the federal school meal programs. Right now, I think, as everyone knows, the choices are basically 1% milk and fat-free milk, including flavored varieties like chocolate. This legislation would give the schools the added ability to offer 2% and even whole milk in addition to the existing varieties that I previously mentioned.
Friday.
And a lot of this data was presented by Dr. Sarah Morrison from the Meinert Institute in New York State. And we know young calves are very vulnerable because, first of all, they have a very tight window. In other words, they need to expend energy if the temperature goes below 59 degrees Fahrenheit or over 82 degrees Fahrenheit. That's called the thermal neutral zone of animals, which means now we take energy to try to adjust the animal itself. We also are aware of morbidity, basically sick calves. The birth weight of the calf are factors, serum IgG. The young calf is very vulnerable because she has 2% body weight as a brown fat, which is a source of energy, of course, very limited compared to older animals. And the calf has a lot of surface area relative to its body weight, so it can lose heat very, very quickly as well.
And that's Dr. Mike Hutchins. To listen to more, go to DairyRadio.com.
Dairy Rewind.